Father, we give you thanks, and Lord, as we come before you here today on this Thanksgiving weekend, Lord, we give you thanks for your word. We give you thanks for what your son has done, what he accomplished. We thank you for our salvation. We thank you for one another, all our brothers and sisters in this local body and our brothers and sisters throughout the world. Now, Father, we pray for Pastor John as he breaks the word open. Lord, we pray that he would just bring it, Lord, in such a way that we would meditate upon it, Lord, that we would act upon it. We would bury it deep within deepest recesses of our heart. Father, bless this time and bless this word, we ask in Jesus' name, and we all said, amen.
Amen. Well, over the past few weeks, I've spoken about dealing with trials and tribulations and about God has called us to be mighty warriors who are more than conquerors. And we've looked at some of the battles, in fact, some of the victories that different mighty men have fought and won, warriors like Gideon and David and Joshua. And you know what? We need to know that our lives, our struggles, our battles are just as important to God as any of those were. You know, sometimes we think like, well, God was there for them. That was important because that was in the Bible. Well, it's true. It was important, and it was in the Bible. But you know what? We're important, too, to God. As far as God is concerned, remember, it says he is no respecter of persons. So that means our struggles, our battles are just as important as all those that we saw and we read about in the Bible. And thinking of all those different battles, we need to know that God never wants us to be overcome by evil, but he wants us to overcome that evil with good. One verse we looked at was Romans 8:37 that tells us that in all these things, all these trials and battles and struggles, that we are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus who loved us. And God has given us this word, this promise from him, and many other great promises. According to 2 Peter 1:4, it says, so that we may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption of the world caused by evil desires. See, God wants us to participate. He wants us to share in his divine nature so that we can be above these things, so that we can deal with these, so that we can overcome and have victory in our struggles. We've seen that the devil is like a roaring lion prowling around just looking for someone to devour. Always on the lookout. And he's going to try to deceive us, to control us. That's what he does, because he wants to have us for himself. One of the greatest schemes that he does is to get people to disbelieve in him or to think that he's irrelevant. You know, to try to like just not, oh, don't worry about him. He really can't, you know, he's no problem. Just don't even worry about him at all. Well, he's out there, and he's going to try to get us. He's going to try to get us. We just have to remember that as long as we belong to Christ, as long as we are in Christ, that he has no power over us. He doesn't. We are the champions. We are the conquerors. We are the conquerors in every area, in all things, in all that we do through Christ. And that includes being over the devil. And this is what I want to speak about today, the fact that our victory over Satan and over all of his evil schemes is a done deal. It's something it's certain, it's done. It's assured, and we're going to look at that today and notice that it is a fact. The Word of God explains this fact very clearly, and every one of us as Christians, as soldiers in God's army, needs to remind ourselves, needs to think about this, that the prince of this world, Satan, is a defeated foe. You know, he doesn't want us to think like that. That's the last thing he wants us to. He wants us to think he's, you know, he's all that there is, you know, that he's the top dog. But he's not. We as Christians have been given by God, who does not lie, who cannot lie, his complete assurance of victory. As long as we remain in Christ, there is no possible way we can lose the battle. We can lose the war. Satan's fate has been sealed. And there is no way he could ever pull Jesus off the throne. That just ain't going to happen. He can't undo what's already been done. He doesn't have that ability. He can't take away Christ's victory, and therefore our victory. He can't take that away from us. Oh, you know, it isn't going to happen. All he can do is, at this point, is try to deceive us. Try to scheme and plot. He's very cunning. He's very shrewd. And he wants to use his lies, his schemes, his craftiness to try to deceive and trick us. He'll try to get us to fight him in our own power. And that's just a waste of time. Because, you know, we would just end up getting frustrated. We'd end up probably giving up because we can't beat him in our own power. He does have considerable power, but we can beat him in Christ. In Christ, he has no power over us. God doesn't want us to fight. Now, I want you to catch this. God doesn't want us to fight for victory. He wants us to fight from victory. I want you to think about that. He wants us to fight from the vantage point of knowing that the battle has already been won. The battle was won by Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And now Jesus has empowered us to do the job. So the battle is won, so we're not fighting for the victory. The victory's already done. We're fighting from the victory, knowing that it's been done. When I was a firefighter, and we battled burning buildings, you know, sometimes we'd have a good-sized building, and there'd be maybe a major fire in there, and it took a lot of manpower, a lot of work to get that fire under control. It was a tough job. But after the fire was out, somebody always had to stay behind for a few hours, or sometimes longer, and make sure that the smoldering remains didn't catch fire again. During that time, we would poke around and prod around and move things around. We'd have little cans of, you know, water with us. And we would dig in and all the little, in the walls, we'd tear around the jams. We'd go up in the attic or down in the, you know, look in the rafters, things like that. Look for fires. And often these little fires would pop up, but it would be no big deal because we were there. We were aware of it and we would take care of it right away. Well, the victory over the fire was already a done deal. The battle was already over. And that wasn't going to change. All we had to do now was protect the victory, protect the fire, you know, that was already gone. And when we're dealing with the fires in our own lives, our struggles, our trials, our tribulations, Satan's going to try to get us to look at ourselves. He's going to try to get us to look at our abilities, which sometimes maybe don't seem that strong, at our weaknesses, at our past failures, and at the little fires that keep popping up. That's what he's going to want us to look at. But God's word tells us to fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. That's Hebrews 12:22. He is the one, Jesus is the one that is already secured the victory for us. By believing in God's word and walking in his truth, what happens is that we're then walking in victory. We're heading right towards that victory. If we follow our feelings and our emotions, and if we let circumstances direct our steps, you know what happens? We end up falling for the enemy's plans. And we don't get the victory. And we can't do that. Our assurance of victory over Satan and all his schemes is based upon the infallibility of God's word. The fact that his word never fails. It can't be based upon our interpretation of outward circumstances, of the events that we see. Our God is faithful. He's trustworthy. And why would we not want to believe his word? 1 Corinthians 15:57 says, "Thanks be to God, He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. If we are going to stand strong and fight this fight to the finish, then we need to have this assurance, this certainty of victory. We need to know it down in our heart. When we know that the victory is ours, we're going to keep right on going. We're going to keep right on walking. So we need to understand the reality of God's word and how it guarantees that victory. It's like the guarantee. It's a written guarantee, basically sealed in blood, the blood of Jesus. So what I want to do now is look at three things that are going to enable us to fight, to stand firm, and to fight the good fight, to remain standing until we finish the race in total victory. Because that's what God wants. Total victory over Satan and all his plots, all his schemes, all his plans, all the things that he has set out to use to destroy our life. So the first thing we need to fully understand, we got to get it inside of our head and our heart, is that Satan is a defeated foe. So let me ask you a question. Would you like to enter a battle or enter a fight if you knew you were no match for your opponent whatsoever, or if you knew the fight was fixed against you and you had no chance of winning? Now, I wouldn't. I don't think anybody's going to want to do that. If you know you're going to lose, you know it's a lost cause. Why would you want to go in? Well, see, when we're dealing with the devil, it's true that he is a powerful opponent. And in our own power, there's no way we're going to beat him. We couldn't. But through Christ, through his power, through Jesus Christ, we have, and we're going to see as we go on here, we have the ability to beat him at his own game over and over and over again. How can we do this? How did Satan lose his advantage over us? Well, we got to remember that at one time, we were under the power of Satan, every one of us. We were all slaves to sin. And sin is the work. It's the occupation of the devil, you know. We go and we do our job, whether we, you know, are building something or teaching or typing or training or doing whatever we do. We have our job. Satan's job is sin. That's his occupation, to do evil. And he originated this job, this sin, all the way back in the garden, and he's been causing it, the sin, to flourish ever since then. And this is the devil's work in us. We're his garden. You know, he tries to cultivate, to grow sin in us. That's what he wants to do. And Jesus came to destroy the power of sin. He came to destroy the devil's work in our lives and save us from its consequence, which is death. 1 John 3:8 says, the reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work, to destroy sin in us. That's why Jesus had to die on the cross. That's why he was the perfect sacrifice for sin, because he was spotless. He was without sin. 1 John 1:7, the second part, says, the blood of Jesus, his Son, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. Satan figured that if he could somehow disrupt God's plans and kill the Messiah, then all mankind would be lost to sin. We'd never be able to get out of that sin. We'd be stuck and mired in that sin, and he could build it up inside of us. He could work his garden, and then we would belong to him for eternity. So he orchestrates his great plan to get everybody to go against Jesus, to get him hung on the cross for all the world to see, and his plan is a great success. He celebrates with all his demonic forces for a couple days, and then something happens on the third day. Jesus rises from the dead. And the devil learns that instead of having a victory over God, he was used by God to bring about his own destruction. what the devil meant for evil, God used for good. And God has literally made fools of the forces of evil, holding them up to ridicule for heaven and earth to see. Colossians 2:15 says, "And having disarmed the powers and the authorities," see, this is, we're talking about a defeated foe here. Having disarmed, that's what you do to your foes when you defeat them, you take away their arms. Having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. Now the power of sin is broken. Satan was disarmed, and death no longer was to be feared. 1 Corinthians 15:54 and 55, death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? Satan is a defeated foe. He has no power over us anymore as long as we are in Christ. He's just a big bully. He huffs and he puffs and he tries to blow us down. But we don't have to. He's just a mouth full of lies and deception. He's an empty bag. He's a paper tiger. And so we, at least for us, who have the power of God. So we have to believe God's word and not Satan's lies. So that was the first thing. Satan is a defeated foe. The second thing, the next thing we need to understand and believe is that we've been given authority over Satan and his work. Romans 16:20 says that the God of peace will soon crush Satan underneath your feet. That tells me that we've been given a lot of authority if we're going to crush him underneath our feet. When we understand this authority, it's going to enable us to walk in victory, in this assurance of victory. In the very beginning, if you remember, Adam had a close personal relationship with God. And because of that relationship with God, God made him his representative here on this earth. When he was there in the garden, God gave him the authority there to rule and to exercise power, to name everything. He was in charge of that garden. And Satan, of course, wanted this authority. After being kicked out of heaven, he was upset that God would give all this authority to a mere man. So he devised a plan, the devil did, to get the man to sin, just like he did, because he knew that this would cause a problem between the man and God. And then he could step in and take over. And that's what he wanted. So he brought sin into the world because Adam sinned, as well as Eve. So once Adam sinned, he forfeited the freedom that he had. He forfeited the authority that he had, that close personal relationship that he had, and now he became a slave to sin, and he was under the control or the rule of the devil. But now, Jesus has broken that power of sin and death when he died on the cross through his death and resurrection. And he's defeated Satan. And Jesus tells us that he has received all authority from his heavenly Father. Matthew 28:18. And Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." Now Jesus wants us to walk in his authority again. He wants again to bring us back to that place where we were in the beginning, and have that authority on this earth for a reason, to build his kingdom. So if you remember the story, Jesus sent out 72 of his disciples ahead of him to go ahead and do the work of the ministry. And they came back in Luke chapter 10, verse 17, full of joy, and they said, "Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name." I mean, they were ecstatic. Not only were they able to, you know, do all kinds of works for God, but even the demons submitted to them because they used the name of Jesus. Now, Jesus said in Luke, the next couple of verses, Luke 10, 18 to 20, it says, He replied, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. And He said, I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. See, there's the scripture that I was telling you. This section, the second part I'm talking about is that, you know, first was Satan is a defeated foe. The second part is we have authority over him. I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. However, do not rejoice that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. You know why he said that? Because God wants us to walk in his authority, but not in our pride. See, they thought it was cool that the demons submitted to them. And it was good, but Jesus didn't want it to go to their head and start getting filled up with pride. It was pride that caused Satan to rebel and lose his position in heaven. If we have the authority of Jesus, the reason we have it is not just to get all the demons to bow down before us. They're just obstacles in the way. We move them out of the way and go on with our job. And our job is to build the kingdom of heaven. The very next verse tells us that Jesus responded to the 72's report by being full of joy through the Holy Spirit. Why was he full of joy? You know, they told him even the demons bowed down. He tells them, don't let that get to your head, basically. But he was still full of joy. Why? Because when he heard the disciples in their newfound childlike faith that they had power over the demons in his name, he knew that it was the beginning of the end for Satan. He knew what was happening. He began to see it played out right while he was still on the earth. And that's why he said, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. He saw the beginnings of what his followers were going to accomplish in his name then and now, because we have authority over the devil. That's why James 4:7 says, submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. That word for resist there means to take a stand against. When we take a stand against the name, against the devil in the name of Jesus, it says that the devil will flee. And that word there means he runs to escape. The devil will run to escape. Why? Because he has authority? No, because we have authority in the name of Jesus. So now when we have our right relationship restored with God, we're back in right relationship again, as it was meant to be from the beginning, we also then inherit or we get this godly authority that God originally meant for us to have on this earth. And this authority was won for us on the cross when Jesus, our Lord and Savior, died on that cross. And he's given it to us so that we might bring glory. God has given us this authority so that we might bring glory to the Lord and advance his kingdom here on this earth. The third thing that we need to understand that will help us see the certainty of our victory and enable us to stand and fight the good fight is the final outcome. What's going to happen to the devil? As we study God's word, we see that Satan's defeat comes in stages. We already know the big thing, the big picture. We saw that, we know about that, and that is the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That sealed the fate of the devil. That's the focal point. That's the fulcrum. That's where everything balances on that. This is where the victory over Satan was accomplished. But we find more details of his defeat as they are described in the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter 12, verse 7 through 10 says, "Then war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought back. But he was not strong enough, and they lost their place in heaven. The great dragon was hurled down, that ancient serpent called the devil or Satan, who leads the whole world astray. He was hurled to earth and his angels with him." That's why we have to deal with them. "Then I heard a loud voice in heaven say, 'Now have come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of God and the authority of his Messiah.'" There's that authority. "For the accuser of our brothers and sisters," that's the devil, "who accuses them before our God day and night, has been hurled down." Satan likes to try to portray himself as God's equal, but evil opposite. He's like the evil twin, he thinks. But he's not the twin. Did you notice who threw him out of heaven? God didn't have to do that. His angels did it. It says they fought him, and the devil wasn't strong enough to withstand them. The angels. God didn't have to do anything. If he wanted to do it, he could have just went like that. The devil's nothing to God. And in Christ, he has no power over us. If we are operating in God's will, and if we're operating in his power, then there doesn't even have to be a struggle with the devil, as long as we're flowing in God's will and moving in his power. Now let's turn to Revelation chapter 20. Got a couple different ones here, 1 through 3 and then 7 and 10. And here's where we see the final stages of the enemy's defeat, the final judgment of Satan. 20, verse 1. "And I saw an angel coming down out of heaven, having the key to the abyss and holding in his hand a great chain. He seized the dragon, that ancient serpent who was the devil or Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. He threw him into the abyss and locked and sealed it over him to keep him from deceiving the nations any more until the 1,000 years were ended. After that, he must be set free for a short time." When the thousand years are over, Satan will be released from his prison. And during that time, he makes his last valiant effort to go out and deceive the nations and battle God, but God just wipes him out. And it says in verse 10, "And the devil who deceived them, the nations, was thrown into the lake of burning sulfur where the beast and the false prophet had been thrown, and they will be tormented day and night forever and ever." And that's his end. That's the end of the devil, as far as any dealings any human will have with him again. There comes an end to his time. And it's already written down. His victory, our victory, is assured. His defeat is also assured. Then we will be the ones who will rule and reign with our Lord forever. Those are facts. Those are written facts, written down in God's testament, in his word, in the book, the Bible. They're not some hidden knowledge. It's the plain truth for all of us there to see that the devil is a defeated foe. The devil loses. Our victory is a done deal. When he reminds you of your past, remind him of his future. God wants you to know that your victory in Christ is certain. Deuteronomy 20, verse 4, "For the Lord your God is the one who goes with you to fight for you against your enemies to give you victory. Isaiah 54:17, no weapon forged against you will prevail, and you will refute every tongue that accuses you. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and this is their vindication from me, declares the Lord. 1 Corinthians 15:57. But thanks be to God, He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's a key part there, through our Lord Jesus Christ. God has given us His Word. He's given us His Word that our victory is a done deal. That it's sealed. It's over. Matthew 24:35, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. His word of assurance of victory will never pass away. His word that says that the devil is destroyed is not going to pass away. It's already happened. It's already done. It's just not happened in our time yet. We live in this time frame. God lives in eternity. It's done. So we need to remember this and know that we must never give up, because our victory is coming. Our victory is certain. We need to never surrender, because our victory is assured. We need to keep pressing on, because our victory is certain. We need to be bold and strong and courageous, because we have the victory. We got to walk in confidence, knowing with our head high, He's the lifter of our head. God is. He's the lifter of our head because our victory is certain. Thanks be to God. He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. If I could have the prayer team come forward. You know, we all have those struggles, those trials, and we talked about them. I talked about them for a couple weeks. How to deal with them, how to get over them, how to get through them. But now this is a little different. This is just seeing that the victory over all these things, victory over and all the stuff that Satan would throw at us, all the things that he wants to use to destroy us, if we just hang on, and we understand and know that Satan is a defeated foe, that he has no authority over us, that we have authority over him, and we remember his final outcome, his final judgment is real, it's certain. So let's close in prayer. Father, we thank you. We thank you so much for your word. For your word is true, Lord God. Your word is certain. Your word is forever. And Lord, your word has told us that we have the victory through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And Lord, I pray that each one of us here would be encouraged, that each one of us here would know that as long as we are with you, as long as we operate in Christ, the devil has absolutely no power over us. Lord, I pray that that would be real, that that would be truth, that that would be, you know, solid inside of each one of us, that we would know it deep down and never, ever fear the devil or his schemes, his plans, his plots, that we would never believe his lies, that we would never again fall slaves to sin. That instead that we would walk in the victory that's been won for us in Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord God. We thank you so much for your word. I thank you for every person here, everyone hearing this message. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, Father.